Welcome to worship at Advent this morning. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, the fountain of all wisdom, you know our necessities before we ask and our ignorance in asking. Have compassion on our weakness and mercifully give us those things which for our unworthiness we dare not and our blindness we cannot ask, through the worthiness of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated.
Strangers visit the patriarch Abraham and his wife Sarah. They eagerly entertain these sojourners. May we seek to so eagerly and graciously attend to the unexpected visitors who enter our own lives. A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered, "do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get three sheaves of fine flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "There, in the tent," he said. Then the Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The psalm this morning is Psalm 15, which can be found on page 4 in your bulletin. We will read in unison. Lord, who may dwell in your tabernacle? Who may abide upon your holy hill? whoever leads a blameless life and does what is right, who speaks the truth from his heart. There is no guile upon his tongue. He does no evil to his friend. He does not heap contempt upon his neighbor. In his sight, the wicked is rejected, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He has sworn to do no wrong and does not take back his word. He does not give his money in hope of gain, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things shall never be overthrown. Jesus Christ incarnate is the fresh spring and green shoot of Christian faith. At the root of our faith is reconciliation that belief in his death and resurrection provide. A reading from the letter of Paul to the Colossians. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end, I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord according to Luke. Just before I share the word, I wanted to make a comment about the Genesis reading. And just before that comment, I have another comment that will be relevant. But we're using a new over-the-ear wireless microphone. This is the first time we've used it. Louis is indicating that as we use it, I should be able to sing on key. Or was he saying that my monotone would be more clearly heard? I'm not sure. But hopefully this will be be an improvement in our sound quality. The book of Genesis, where it talks about the three people coming to Abraham, this is an early hint of the Trinity. The Lord is there, but there were two other people. Who are they? And so that's one of the things that to me is fascinating. In the beginning of Genesis, it says, "Let us make man in our image." Again, an implication that God, there's a plurality in God. So we zip now to Luke chapter 10. This immediately follows last week's story of the Good Samaritan and speaks about the extension of grace to Jesus. Now, as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all of her preparations, and she came to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." Biblical evidence of sibling rivalry at its best. Continuing in 41, "But the Lord answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" The Gospel of the Lord. So last week in the gospel, we heard the story of the Good Samaritan, a special response of grace by a person not respected by the victim. And in the gospel today, Jesus is offered grace by two sisters in spite of the attacks that he was facing on the outside. There were many who did not respect what Jesus was doing. They thought that he was rattling the foundations of the Jewish faith. But still, these two sisters extended grace in a remarkable way. And that's what I want to speak today about the concept of grace, sometimes explained as God's righteousness at Christ's expense. But it's a central part of our faith. And the truth is, we live in a time when many people are intimidated by a culture that seems to not want to embrace the values of our Christian faith. How then do we live? And as a Christian, how do I live fully what I believe in my life, knowing that, as it was even in Jesus' day, that I would not be welcomed by everyone for what I believe and what I say? The Apostle Paul talked about grace. He said in 1 Corinthians 15, "But God's grace has made me what I am, and his grace to me was not wasted." The concept that I really would like you to reflect on today is that grace is given. It's totally free, but there's also an expected response to the grace that we're given. It's a free gift that we can't earn or pay for, but as we receive it by faith, there's also an expectation that our lives would change. In the church, in formal ways, we honor what we call means of grace, and not a term that's in the Bible, but the idea of it very much is. Means of grace, such as baptism, the Lord's Supper, and prayer. They are ways in which God imparts grace to us in ways that strengthen us, that encourage us, that bring us forgiveness, that bring us into his family by faith. So grace is a very important and central part to what we believe and who we are. One of my very early understandings of grace as a young adult was at our second church in Columbus. I had just left that church, and about 6 months later, we would be going to Long Island. But in the meantime, I had to support our family. And so I ended up with three jobs. One of them was as a pharmaceutical salesman, and I was abysmal at it. I met with Dick. This was his profession. He had a company, and he gave me leads to follow up on, and then once a week we met. And he discovered after the first week that I was not bringing him any revenue. But he also knew that I had a family. And so he decided to give me $50 a week, which in the mid-70s was significant. And he said, just for the expenses of travel, it was really to help pay a couple of bills at home. But it was grace. He understood that this was not my future, but he wanted to encourage me, and so he gave me that special amount of cash. That's grace. I didn't earn it, but it was a free gift. And my response to him was gratefulness. Grace is wonderful because it gives you freely what you don't deserve, what you can't earn. It's not a merit badge. It's a gift that we could not possibly pay God back for what he gives us. And sometimes, to try to understand what it's like and how Christians respond to grace, some of us will say, I don't take charity. Others will say, I'm a self-made person. To try to understand how we respond to grace, sometimes Christians' response to God's grace is the way that we water our lawns. Some of us grab long hoses and sprinklers, and we, every week, sometimes several times a week, we water the lawn to make it the finest lawn in the neighborhood. It becomes a showplace, but we trudge through the dry grass with the heavy hoses and the sprinklers and move them around because it's worth it. We want our place to look good. Then a second way that some people do it is they install an automatic sprinkling system underground, and then on top of that pay someone to take care of their lawn. They've seen the first group, it's too much work, it's too much effort, so they pay to have it done. And then a third group, which is me, is the type of person that never waters the lawn, waits for God to open the heavens and for it to rain, but I always have my lawnmower ready. But I never, never, ever water the lawn. So Christians can be like that. Some that are like the do-it-yourselfers that trudge all over the place with all of their equipment. Drag around, if you will, carry their list of good deeds, of good works. Well, this is what I've done. I'm a competent, good person. I know how to do things right. And so there's an element of pride. I take care of myself. And then the people that do the automatic underground system can be like people that understand that there's probably a God there somewhere, so I go to church a few times a year to get my ticket punched, and the minister and other people will take care of it. I don't have time to be involved in the things that a church does. And the third group, the one that I advocate for, have their lawnmowers ready, waiting for the rain, but understand that it's a gift from God. And the question is, when you look at your life and how you receive God's grace, do you mostly take care of yourself, that you don't really need much grace or mercy from God because, doggone it, you're a pretty good person? Are you a person that tends to be more of an Easter Christian type of person, that I don't want to get involved in all the politics of church? We'll just see what happens, and I try to be good, and we'll see what happens at the end. Or are you the kind of person that understands that I could never be good enough? I depend on God's rain like I depend on grace for my life. But when it comes, I understand that I have a responsibility. And that's the third group. And that's where I want you to look at. Are you that kind of person that you understands that, bad grammar, pardon me, who understands that who you are as a child of God is not dependent on the good work that you do, but it's dependent on what God has done for you. And then because of that, then you want to live a life that is worthy of what God has done in your life. Paul talks about this in Romans 5. Since we have been made right with God by our faith, we have peace with God. This happens through our Lord Jesus Christ, who has brought us into that blessing of God's grace that we now enjoy. We have peace with God, and now we have grace. So, if you will, the pressure to perform is off. I was talking with one of my nephews this week about getting ready for college, and this happens to be a young man who is quite brilliant and has scored the highest score possible in his ACT, and I can go wherever I want. And he had made a comment, you know, I'm even more intelligent than my parents. Sounds like the first person who waters their lawn by trudging with all of the equipment. I can do this by myself. Grace says, everything I have is a gift from God. Which one are you? To me, it's an important thing in our Christian walk that we understand. And to try to give you what I think is a really good understanding of it, I want to take you to the Old Testament and talk about a woman by the name of Rahab. You've probably heard of her many times in the book of Joshua. But when the Hebrews were getting ready to invade the city of Jericho across the Jordan, Joshua sent across two spies. And the interesting thing, if you remember 40 years earlier, Joshua had been one of 12 spies that went in to check out the promised land before the Israelites would go in. And 10 came back and said, it's a place of giants. We can't go. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. Joshua and Caleb said, no, it's ripe for the picking. It's ours. Well, Joshua now sends in two spies to see what is in the city of Jericho. And when they went in, they were protected by Rahab. She was a resident of the city, a prostitute apparently, who took them in. She found out who they were, and she hid them on the roof of her home, which was attached to the defensive structure around the city. And she hid them on that roof overnight. And it protected her from the military in the city who had heard that there were possibly people coming in and the city was about to be invaded. And when the walls of Jericho fell, Rahab and her whole family were preserved because of her step, which was actually a step of faith. She extended grace toward the two spies who had come in. And eventually, she and her family were incorporated into the Jewish people. Listen to this. In Hebrews 11, verse 31, by faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. Besides Sarah, Abraham's wife, Rahab is the only woman in Hebrews as an example of great faith in the cloud of witnesses. She was there with Moses, Noah, Abraham, and David. Because of a step of faith, she went against the culture of her day because something had happened to her when she had heard about the God of the Jews, that faith emerged in her heart. She's a perfect example of grace. She couldn't earn it. The way she made her living was, in the eyes of the Jews, was immoral. She received, if you will, in terms of those who water their lawns, she received the rain as favor from God, but had her own lawnmower ready. She receives faith from God that the God of the Jews is real and is going to be her God. Then her response is not to mow the lawn, but it's to hide the spies. That is her response when faith comes into her heart. I want to read to you from James chapter 2. We often say that we are never saved by works of the law. We are never saved by good works, but it is normal that there are good works in the lives of Christians. So hear this. Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar. You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. Rahab the prostitute is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different road. Faith brought about a change of heart, and it led to her hiding the spies, believing that the Lord would triumph over his enemies, which were actually her people. Pardon me. In the book of Joshua, where it talks about her, she has the spies hidden. And then in chapter 2, she goes up and talks to them on the roof. Now, before they lay down, she came up to them on the road and said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you this land. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath." In our terminology today, she was confessing Jesus as Lord. She was saying, "I believe in the God that you believe in, and I have made him my God." And her response then was to save the spies. She did a work that confirmed the fact that she really believed. Rahab's story: under God's law, she was condemned. Grace was extended, and she made room. She made room on the roof. She made room in her heart, and it changed everything. Rahab was transformed. Her family tree was transformed by grace. She didn't deserve what she had, but out of gratefulness, she responded immediately to help the spies. Some of you will have great family trees. My family goes back as Christians many, many generations. You may be a first-generation Christian. You may be like Rahab, beginning a new family tree of faith. That's where she was. It's a wonderful thing. She was transformed. She brought with her her family, and eventually she married Solomon, who some scholars believe was one of the spies that she protected when they came into Jericho. Her life was transformed because she received grace, not because her life was good, but because God was good. And then when she received that, the way she lived was transformed. And that's how we are as believers. You are not saved because your resume says that you have been a good person, that you have done the right things. You are saved because Jesus has done the right things. And it's such an important thing to grasp. If it's always dependent on us, there will always be tension. Have I watered my lawn enough? Have I dealt with the grubs? It's all been dealt with, and we wait for the heavens to open up and for the rain of grace to fall. It changes everything. Let's continue our time together now by sharing our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Were made for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
prayers of the people this morning are Form 4, which can be found on page 6 in your bulletins. After each petition, you're encouraged to offer your own prayers, either silently or aloud. Let us pray for the church and for the world. Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. We ask your blessings for all the servicemen and women and their families that protect our country at home and abroad. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. We also ask your blessings on the homeless and for those on Advent's prayer list. We pray for health and recovery for Lillian, Mary Lou, Bob, Barb, Michael, Bill and Judy, Irv, Marilyn, Karen, Lois, Sharon, Steve, Joan, Velta, Rose, Arthur, George, for Friends of Advent, for Tony, Sylvia, Trevor, Ken and Jim, and the Eliza Jennings residents. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled, and we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we'll say the following prayer together. Our Father in heaven, we pray with open hearts and minds to know your will for us. Reveal to us the initiatives we should take for nourishing ourselves with your word, for supporting each other in Christian fellowship, for taking the gospel to outside communities, and for loving and serving others in the power of your Spirit. We are grateful for the pastoral encouragement you have provided us in this season. We are grateful for our lay leadership in their shouldering of extra burdens. Lord, we ask that you lay bare the hearts of this congregation and open each one of us to every new day. Open us to what you have for our future as a new church family in Christ. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Now let's share that with one another.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I'm going to take some license here this morning to extend the reading from Genesis beyond the 10 verses that Denise read. The bulletin shows verses 1 to 14, and those four verses not included for whatever reasons are pretty powerful closing to the first part of the three visitors. So, let me indulge. Now, Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent. So, remember now, the visitor says, "Where is your wife, Sarah?" they ask. "There in the tent," he said. Then the Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." That's where Denise stopped. And then I go on. Now, Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." That was left out for whatever reasons. So there it is, the rest of the story. Okay, Pete.
Good morning.
Good morning.
A couple things. First of all, on Saturday the 27th coming up, we will have our church picnic here at 6:30. Come one, come all. Bring your friends, relatives, natives, whoever you can find. All are invited. Secondly, a question was posed to me last Sunday. Joni Joy, thank you. I made an announcement a couple weeks before that about interest in going to a Lake Erie Crushers baseball game. I consulted the Ouija board.
What?
All right, the eight ball. Either one. And I've got Friday, August 9th at 7:05 as a date to go to. I have sign-up sheets going around, so if you're interested, all are welcomed. Lastly, my wife and I Wednesday night went to Playhouse Square to see a play. It's a musical. It's called Far and Away, Far From Away. It is the story of a airline flight passengers who are stranded in a foreign country with no choice. They are cut off from communication. They have to live for 5 days amongst themselves and experience who they are and what they are. This is a real occurrence. It occurred to a flight on 9/11 that landed in Canada. They were forced to land in Canada and spend 5 days in Canada. And the Canadians, through all grace, opened their hearts and their wallets and their homes to several hundred stranded passengers and asked nothing of them. While they were there, the passengers found out what had occurred in New York City at the World Trade Centers. And they were shocked by it, they were dismayed by it, and they were angered by it. And they turned on their fellow passengers. They turned on the Muslims. They turned on people of different color, even though these people were all American citizens. Now, I say this because it drew a terrible parallel to what we see in society today. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Pete.
Mr. Ray.
Hey, good morning. Well, we lost our cool. our freezer in the hall went kaput, it quit. So I'm looking for maybe a donation, a used freezer. I don't know how much we use that one. I understand we pulled out some things from about 6 years ago, 8 years ago in that freezer. I really don't know how much it gets used, but I'm looking for a donation, maybe of a used freezer. You know somebody that wants to get rid of one, rather than purchasing a new one. So if you do, let me know and we'll make arrangements to get it over here. Thank you.
You.
Any size will work. The one we have is an upright, but if you got a chest, that'll work.
If it's free, it'll work.
If it's free and it works, then it works. So today is what, July 20th? 21st. All right, thank you. So Joanne has an announcement in the adventures about school supplies. Believe it or not, school is going to start in about a month. And so this appeal is for both school supplies for St. Luke's on West 72nd, 78th, and also for the school that Susan Eckerd Roush Maitland teaches in, and I think John Cothell sometimes reads and provides adult leadership there. So please take note of the school supplies needed. Bring those in over the next few Sundays, and we'll put those together for both St. Luke's and Susan School. Peace be with you.
We continue our service by presenting our offerings to the Lord. We continue with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the first day of the week overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened up to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we have fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, after he'd given thanks, he took into his hands the cup, and he lifted it up in front of them and said, "Take and drink from this cup, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them, O Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace, and at the last day bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Let us pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And it's the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. The gifts of God for the people of God, come in faith and receive. such memorable music and lyrics. Please join with me in the closing prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. May you have the best week of your life yet as you go in peace to serve the Lord.